It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're in Capitol Hill and actually in the Capitol today with the Honorable Rick Crawford. He serves the 1st Congressional District of Arkansas. Great to see you.
Good to be here.
All right. He's also a member of the House Agriculture Committee, and Farm Bill is on the tee, and I throw that in because it's not your first rodeo on the Farm Bill.
Been through a few. This will be, I think, my 4th Farm Bill markup. I say the 4th markup, but only the 3rd actual Farm Bill, because you remember the first one, we had to go back and do it again, with some drama on the floor and so on. So that happens in this line of work. But we're there are a handful of us that are sort of veterans at this.
Does that help bringing that institutional knowledge, if you will, to some of the newer members?
Oh, it absolutely does. In fact, there are, like I said, there are a handful of us at the that have been through several, and so some of the newer members will come up and ask us, "Is this normal?" or "Is what can we expect?" or that kind of thing. So I think what it does is sort of provides a little bit of insight for them and helps them better understand the process and knowing that, what's normal and what's not.
Putting together a farm bill really takes a lot of effort on members' part. But what about those who are kind of behind the scenes, staff members, economists that get involved? How important are they to this?
Well, I mean, that's the real issue here, is the unseen players that do the bulk of the heavy lifting. I mean, so we've got to understand this stuff, but it doesn't happen in a vacuum, and we're not in a position to be able to, flesh out the minutiae of policy detail that our staff is able to do. So the amount of hours the staff puts in, I can't imagine, particularly the closer you get to actual markup, the more hours they're putting in the course of the day to a point that by the time we're done with this week, I think they're going to all need to take off and sleep for about 24, 25 hours just to try to, you can't bank sleep, but my goodness, they're missing out a lot of sleep, a lot of family time. And that's sort of on a piece of legislation this big, they're really working overtime to say the least.
Really very indicative to what farmers and ranchers are doing these days, dairymen, and really struggling to find help on the farm. H2A, are you following that?
Oh, yeah. We had, over the last almost year, Chairman Thompson charged me with the responsibility of heading up the Ag Labor Working Group, which dealt with reforming the H2A program. Now, every geography has a different perspective, different demands with regard to labor, but almost every farm demographic is employing H2A workers. Whether you're a produce farmer in the San Joaquin Valley, or whether you're a cotton producer in East Arkansas, we're basically outsourcing our labor. Variety of reasons why that might be. Maybe it's a conversation for another time, but the fact remains that we're relying on H2A to manage that migrant labor force. Now, in places like maybe California or the Rio Grande Valley, that labor force may be predominantly Mexican, Guatemalan, Honduran, further south. But in my neck of the woods, and this is true in large swaths of the Mississippi Valley, predominantly now South African. And people don't realize that. And you have various nationalities that are present, that are here looking for work, because they can make more money for their families coming to the United States working on a farm than they can in their home country. And so we're seeing issues related to H2A that are making it more difficult to manage, more difficult to cash flow. It's a costly program. It's a cumbersome program. And it needs to be fixed. We undertook this investigation and published a couple of reports to make some recommendations to the committees of jurisdiction. The irony of this whole effort, though, is that the Ag Committee has almost no jurisdiction in H-2A. Now, we have the subject matter expertise, and we were able to bring in the relevant stakeholders that we needed to get a good record. We brought in farmers, and we brought in labor attorneys. We brought in different farm groups. You name it. We had a cross-section of the country and a good cross-section geographically in different production models and so on. And came to an agreement of 25 legislative recommendations that we wanted to address to make to the committees of authority. 21 of those 25 were agreed to. 15 of the 21 were agreed to unanimously. This was a group that was comprised of 10 Democrats, 10 Republicans. Myself and Don Davis from North Carolina co-chaired the effort. So if we didn't do anything else, we showed that we can work in a bipartisan fashion and really get some things done with regard to how we can recommend legislation, legislative fixes to a really complex issue.
You mentioned that bipartisan work, but there's another bicameral process that has to take place. Can that happen?
Well, that's the real challenge here, because not only do we have to, you know, address those hurdles of bipartisanship, but when we cross the Capitol and now we're bringing in the Senate, then it, you know, obviously they're under a different leadership because they're in the Democrat majority, and therefore it may be more difficult even to create a bicameral environment that is also bipartisan. So yeah, we got some real challenges, and we've done it in the past. If we hadn't, we wouldn't have been able to pass farm bills, but it is a challenging environment.
It's so good to see you. I can hear some music in the background. I believe it's the Triple Nickel Band playing, so that must mean it's time to go vote, right?
That's right. That's always the cue. If Triple Nickel is playing, I got to go vote.
It's so good to see you. Thanks
too.
For your work.
Absolutely.
Representing the 1st Congressional District of Arkansas, member of the House Ag Committee, all-around good guy, Rick Crawford. From Capitol Hill, I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.